Yeah, anyway, thank you very much, Joan. Generous, much more generous than I deserve, really. But and it's, thank you, Mark Jampol. It's a pleasure that Mark could be in to be with us from New York City. Mark and I, yeah, we got the idea to do this. It was 2010. For most of the years that we did this, Mark hosted and provided a space for poets to meet in Mark's house in Squirrel Hill, lovely living room, very comfortable spaces. Mark, a couple times, had grilled salmon on Saturday afternoon. If you ever get a chance to enjoy Mark's grilled salmon.
So we're not allowed to grill in our co-op apartment.
Oh, well, okay. Let me see here. Thank you enormously to Joan and Jimmy, a collaboration. That is, what's the word I'm looking for here? Beyond 1 + 1 = 2, it's 1 + 1 = at least 14, I think. anyway, you guys have really brought this event into being a great Pittsburgh party poetry gathering, and thank you. Always a pleasure. So, and nice to be here. I have a word quiz. There's a word, and anybody know the word dasypigal? It's dasypigal, dasypygal, Greek, from the Greek. Dasus meaning hairy, pygal meaning rump or buttocks. It's a word that means hairy-assed, basically. I used to get a word a day by email, and so there was a different new word every day. And dasypigal was the word of the day one day, and I'd never heard of it anyway. So this is called hairy-assed word of the day. Dasypigal, from Greek, dasus, hairy, plus pyga, rump, buttocks, four syllables. Dasypigal. Hair-covered hind parts, as with apes, although not gibbons and certain monkeys. Homo sapiens, generally not hairy-assed. But the theme of the week is vituperation, and if lost for an insult with which to bang at the cosmos, the word of the day is dasypigal. Addressed to me via flickers on a phosphor screen, from a woman named Anu. No obligation. I may at any time opt out, like Bartleby, prefer not to, disappear into the interior of my room where the refrigerator hums at night and my dasypigal sheepdog, Sam, stirs to lap water from his bowl, and the horn blast of a distant freight train is not a lonesome animal howl, although it reverbs with unbearable hairy ass overtones through the hollow along the river. When morning pours through my window, I think of flowers, and the air shivers with something silken, hairy enough almost to touch, to put on and wear like a new blue shirt, or swallow like vitamins and step into the vituperation of the day that waits for me like a yellow bus in the rain, splashing me with faces, children off to school. Once more, I'll be eye to eye with Lester Alman and Tom Ripka. This time I'll say, leave me alone, you dasypigal bullies. And each day from here on, I'll learn a new word to confound and prod their hairy asses. Words such as tributary, phrases such as one nation indivisible, where girls run ahead at recess like flags into the grassy green, and Darlene falls and stains her dress white, printed with daisies, and her eyes flatten with fear of what her mother will say. Imagine if her mother knew the word of the day is dasapigo. All right, a couple more. I'm a grandfather. And this is an elegy for a dasapigal creature, a brown Labrador named Harry, who was the family dog of my daughter's family. And my this written when my grandson, whose name is William, was younger. He's five now, but he was 6 months then. A lot of you know what a jolly jumper is. It's the apparatus that you can, you can jump up and down. It's described. Hey, jolly jumper, I say to young Will, 6 months into this jolly jumping world, strapped into his blue harness like a paratrooper, bouncing from a coiled spring at the threshold between living and dining rooms. He shuffles his chubby muscle boy legs, the old soft shoe, flexes tiny feet, lifts like Baryshnikov, on point, twinkle-toed, floaty as a moonwalker, up and down he goes. Happy boy noises burble from him like spring water, as May flowers unfurl from my daughter's window boxes, pansies, begonia, lobelia, petunia, words, blossoms, gurgles of joy. My bubbly buddy, oh boy, here comes tasty FaceTime with brown Labradorian Harry, eager four-legged amble across the room, red tongue in fleshy full bloom. To lick is to like, and Harry laps like a wild beast, God who lives on baby drool. My Will, cherub of pure happiness, receives this animal love that has come into the world and laughs and laughs. Thank you. A few more. I think there's three short ones. This one's called Largo. It's kind of another word poem. It has the word hypotenuse in it. It also has a dog in it. Largo. It's about memory, sort of. Woozy from the sway of time, an ocean in which you float as a wave breaks and tongues of jeweled green sea ease you into a trough of luxurious emptiness and forgetting with backwash of eddies and swirls of white water, while each chain-linked molecule of you finds freedom to be for a moment, hours, years, that work as you imagined they might. When the teacher asked, you raised your hand, waved, answers came. Hypotenuse, easy to love this word for shortcut from the West Main graveyard through the cherry tree fence row to Fred Mensch's farm. And here's Misty, the German shepherd trotting out from the red barn to announce with howitzer blasts of woof. Paperboy, now and eternally, you are unwelcome. Over the furrows, she bounds like an avenger of every misfortune that happened ever to hardworking farmers. This isn't Lassie, Sunday, 6 p.m., starring June Lockhart and you, Riley. This is turn and run fast or stand your ground. Growl like a black bear. Be menacing. It might work. Good dog, Misty. I'm your friend, okay? Ready? Here comes the next wave. And And this one's called Hush Puppies. It has nothing to do with dogs. It's hush puppies that you eat if you grew up in Alabama and you're visiting restaurants in South Carolina, which is what's happening here. It was the evening we jammed with Jan on fiddle and Frank's Lower Alabama harmonies. I'll fly away, oh lordy. While frogs in the watercrest, brackish black pond honked and honked in saxophonish back and forth cacophony. All I have to do is dream, we sang and thought of Don and Phil Everly, evolved from forebears of these spring croakers. Ronna Pippians, said Frank, who knows southern frogs and water moccasins in the swimming hole and gators that snatch arms dangled from swamp boats. Plump your magic twanger, Froggy, said Andy Devine on TV when I was a boy and dreamed of legs that could twitch and rocket you 20 feet through air, quick as a bat swerves in the updrafts past our windshield. Headed for a bite, we motor in purple Carolina, dusk down a corridor of vacant-eyed graybeards from tangled skeins of Spanish moss in the live oak, they stare. This swamp is haunted with rebellion, says Frank. Sherman is still a word that can get you killed. Rats big as dogs and panthers eat strangers who get lost here. Me, he says, I'm just looking for the hush puppies of my childhood. And I'm going to close with this poem, which is another elegy for, this time it's a bird. And I'm going to follow with a poem that's not mine. I'll tell you about that one in a minute. And this is an elegy for a white Hawaiian peace dove. His name was Io. He lived 29 years. He was Jan Hamilton's bird. She's going to get up here in a minute and play fiddle with us. 29 years, people tell me this, that's remarkable for, I guess, any kind of bird, but especially for a dove. But anyway, he did it. And this is called Sail Away. Raggy gray satin, torn from a used-to-be slip, bunched into an elegant nest where you're splayed at the bottom of a Tupperware container like we use to freeze leftovers. Rest in peace, opalescent white bird. Do not disturb the universe further with your coos, amusing as they were to ponder. Do not again spatter the dew with your, do I need to say it? I mean, everything is excrement, isn't it? I mean, in a good way. The world a gift to digest and pass on, flap wings and fly through it, born to the mating of marshmallow and white cloud, you may descend to light on my shoulder whenever the urge strikes. Singe me with your feather brush of soft air, ticklishly peck the thin pink hinges of my toes. Play on. You had 29 years, oh wise one. I think you felt only a short knife of pain, less than a second, before your brave heart stopped just like that, and you dropped thud flat to the bottom of your cage, and we're gone, gone. Okay, thanks.